to run after him. Oh, glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to be here. We sense God's presence here in such a wonderful way. And we're so grateful for all that God is doing. It's so good to see some of you we haven't seen for a while and then to meet some new ones. And it's just been very exciting. I had some desires in my heart to see some of you, and God just opened the door, and I said, and I just makes my heart happy. And you know what? Keep coming here. God's doing something. I'm going to tell you something. God's getting ready to burst for something even greater in this place. Amen. And I sense it. I sense it in the spirit. And you want to keep coming. And God needs you to keep coming and be in faith. Because God's going to bring many people into this place to find him. And you all have something to do with it. And so you want to be a part of it. You want to be praying and seeking him, because Jesus wants to come and touch lives. He wants to set people free. He wants to heal bodies. He wants to save souls, and he wants to do a mighty thing at this time. And so be part of it. Amen. I just encourage you to say that. I just had a couple verses I want to share, and then Pastor Mike's going to speak. And it's in Isaiah 53. We're very familiar with this. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And then there's another verse that we read in 1 Peter 2:24. And it says this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so we see in Isaiah it says we are healed, and then we see the past tense in 1 Peter 2:24, we were healed. The work has been accomplished. Jesus has paid that price on Calvary, and he has provided forgiveness of sins and healings for the body. A verse I love to read and quote so much is Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus took his sicknesses upon himself, and he wants us to believe and know that he has provided healing. The work is done. It's not something that we're reaching out for. And then there's one other verse, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Notice it said he sent his word and healed them. It didn't say he sent his word to heal them, but he said he sent his word and heal them. God has given us his word. Hallelujah. The work is finished. When Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood, he said, it is finished. He finished the work that he has accomplished. Hallelujah. So that you and I can be healed. You and I can have our sins forgiven. The work is done. God wants us just to let it come and be manifested in our bodies. We're not to strive for it. No, it's finished. He's handing it to us. Hallelujah. God wants us to come into faith and line up with the word of God. Jesus, you said in your word, himself took our infirmities. I believe it, Lord. I receive it, Lord, for my body, that life and health of Jesus will be manifested in me. Hallelujah. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Now, I'm just going to pray with you. If there's any here that have needs in your body, I want you to lay your hand on that. Or if there's something that you can't lay your hand, you just have it in your heart, and you get that thing in your heart, or lay your hand on that part of your body, and we're going to pray, and we're just going to believe God's word. We've seen many people healed just by praying over the word of God. Hallelujah. There's a man standing in the back in our church and just prayed this simple prayer, just believe what God said. And he goes, going like this at Pastor Mike. And Pastor Mike said, uh-oh, what did I do? He said, God healed me. He said, my arm, I couldn't put it behind my back. He said, I had pain in my elbow. I couldn't move it. He said, I heard a pop and God healed me. And he said, look what I can do. And he said, it was just amazing. He said, God did it for me. Other people have been healed. And I know God's been healing in this place. And God's going to keep doing it. When we're gone, I know you're going to And he had did it before we came. He's going to do it while we're here. He's going to keep doing it while we're gone. Because his word is true. Hallelujah. He just wants us to line up with that word of God. Oh, stay in the word. There's power in his word. Amen. I'm going to pray with you. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for that great price that you have paid for us. And Lord, we just want to say again what your word says. By your stripes we were healed. Himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses. And Lord, you sent your word and healed. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, for each one here that has a sickness or something, Lord, they're believing you for. Lord, we pray that you'll stretch forth your hand to heal. Hallelujah. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. There's power in the blood. There's power in his name. God, we pray that people will rise up out of their sicknesses and be healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you all the glory. We thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, let there be many testimonies in this place, Lord, of your healing power and answer to prayer. And we give you all the glory. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Believe. Hallelujah. Speak healing over yourself. Lord, I thank you. I'm healed. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. It's so nice to be here, and it's so nice that I was thinking you have two at least that I know that are among the great clouds of witnesses that are praying for you and standing for the victory God wants to win here. I'm thinking of the McKinnons, dear Ruby, and Pastor Gordon, and I'm thankful that we can follow in their train. I'm thankful that we can follow their faith. I'm thankful also for the pastor you have and his dear wife and their graciousness to us and friendship throughout the years. And I think there's a real connection between the Fredericksburg Full Gospel and the Durham Full Gospel. And I noticed that I think I give a heads up to your motto. Your motto is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is a scripture. Ours has a similar thought, though. Our motto is to know him and to make him known. And how thankful I am for the light that has come down through our teachers. And thank God we listened. Because all the truths of the Bible are pathways to the feet of Jesus. This book is not to be argued about. There's someone in this book that's the author of this book who wants to reveal himself to every one of us. And that's why we love him. And thank God that he desires to live out his life in us today. We're waiting for his coming. But we have a job to do. I was impressed yesterday as John passed dear Clayton and said, well, he has been such a help to me. And I remember how dear Jeff Troy here was such a help to Wayne. And folks, I want to say to you, there's someone out there that needs your help. You see, this is a filling station, and it's a good one, and it's a solid one. And the word of God is preached here, and Jesus Christ is central here. But then we are to go out and never forget the call to evangelism. And so I just want to tell you, there's some waiting to hear. Many of you know I was raised in the Catholic Church. I would never have come into a Protestant church. Someone from the church had to go out to get me. And thank God, someone who was a spirit-filled woman from New York and went to one of our fellowship churches there, got a job in Corrigan Casket. And saw my mom, and the Lord kept on showing her a vision and said, witness to Tilly Corrigan, witness to Tilly Corrigan. And thank God she did. And as a result, my mom got saved. Then I got saved. Then my sister got saved. My father got saved. My mom and dad became leaders in their church. And I've been pastoring now for 36 years, all because of a personal witness. Folks, let's do our job. But we're also getting ready for his coming. Amen. Praise God. I want to say again what a delight it is to be here. I thank Pastor Terry for his graciousness in welcoming us. And so nice that he has assistant pastor Sunil here. And so many of you we remember so fondly. So nice to see the Chumneys. Ron, the church is incomplete without you, brother. This is a new day. Amen. Who can say amen? Praise God. So anyway, we're glad to see all of you and some new ones. Today, I feel like the Lord's put something in my heart. But you know, I'm not really here to preach a good sermon. In fact, I'll tell you something. I was sitting there and the Lord put in my heart, what would you like me to do today? And I didn't say, Lord, let my sermon be good. The desire of my heart is to see this place go on in God and fulfill in all God has. In fact, already the Lord twice has spoken to my wife and said, I'm going to double this house. I feel there's going to be signs and wonders and manifestations of Jesus. We're praying for it. We're standing. We are a sister church. We're still growing. We have needs. But we are standing with your pastors and your assembly shoulder to shoulder that we're going to see a new thing. Because Jesus never gets stuck. He never looks back. He's always in the now. And there's something new for us every day if we'll just get in tune with him and get our faith up to what he wants to do. And certainly God's been doing that in Fredericksburg. You know, when I went there, I was 23 folks. And today we're approximating 300. I didn't build the work. God built the work. But somehow I've been awakened to the fact that God wants to do a mighty work before he comes. And he needs that. In Canada, he sure needs that in our country. But today I'm going to share with you, I think, a special talk because it's one from the book of Joel which really caused the birthday of the church. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, this is that which was prophesied by Joel. And in Joel we find a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful remedy for all our ills. Dryness, sometimes hardness, barrenness. These things are not uncommon to us as Christians. If I asked you how many here have gone through a dry season somewhere in your Christian life, I'm sure numbers of you would. And really, if someone can say, I've never been dry, I want to talk to you after the service. And I think you should write a book. Because I've never known any Christian that the enemy is completely let alone. He's after us. He wants to hinder us. In fact, the first verse I want to use is not really in Joel, but it's in John chapter 10. And I would like you to turn with me to John chapter 10 if you have it. And I'd like to read verse 9, 10. It says this, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go out and find pasture. Now this is a very important verse, verse 10. Maybe you could read it with me, all right? The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now sometimes Christians think, oh, Satan can't touch me. I'm sorry about that. If you think that way, I wish it was true, but we have an enemy. Amen. He's the accuser of the brethren. He doesn't want you to advance in God. He wants to come against you. It says here he wants to steal from you. How many have felt that sometimes the enemy's tried to steal things from you? Yes. Things you need, things you want, precious things in your life. He tries to steal from your family. He tries to come against and rob you. He wants to kill. He wants to cause death. Sin brings forth death. I remember years ago in my church, I asked a friend from Brooklyn to preach. And he got up and he said something so simple. I thought it was not effective, but it was 30 years ago and I never can forget it. He said, I don't fear man. I'm not afraid of anything. That's in Brooklyn there. Did you hear the Brooklyn? He said, the only thing I fear is sin. And I thought, oh boy, I asked him to preach, Pastor Terry. So the only thing I'm afraid of is sin. And you know what? After 30 years, I agree with him. Because the only way the enemy can get in is by having a right. And the only way he has right is when there's sin. And so we need to keep from sin. We need to keep from defilement. Because if we keep under the blood, the enemy can't steal. Amen. He can't kill. Sin brings forth death. Jesus brings life and life more abundantly. Live in the stream of his presence. Live in the glory. Live in his word. Be part of the family of faith. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But so much the more. What does the so much the more mean? Get together often. Be strengthened by the life of Jesus. I am come that they might have life. That's good. How many would just like life? But it says more abundant life. That's supernatural life. You know what I've been finding, folks? God wants us to live in the overflow. He don't want your church or you to have just enough. Amen. In fact, today I'm going to show you how you can get back everything that enemies tried to steal from you. Everything the enemies tried to hinder and take out of your life. Even the years that you might have felt you've wasted. God will restore them to you as you come up in faith and believe him for mighty things. Hallelujah. You know, in our church, it's interesting. Before we came, my wife got up and she preached. Because she had an experience, the Lord made her to see many of us Christians put God in a box. And the box is small. And the Lord showed that she was in the box and he was trying to cause that box to get bigger. Cause that box, because we believe him for what we feel he is, but we don't have a full sight of who he is. And God wants to give all of us as Christians a real revelation. We talk about Christ within. We talk about he's the hope of glory. Let me tell you what Christ is. He is Savior. He is healer. He is deliverer. He is provider. He breaks the chains. He brings life. He subdues enemies. He does everything. It's not just, oh, a little tender feeling. Oh, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. No, Jesus wants me. He is the vine. I am the branch. He wants me to bring forth fruit. If I abide in him, he wants his works to follow. He needs the church of Jesus Christ to come up. He needs in these days a strong church. Places where Jesus will come. And the tempter's power is broken. And this place is called and is going to be and is one of those places. I hear all the time in Fredericksburg, people come to my church and say, why is God here? I say, because we ask him. Why is he healing? Because he's a healer. Why is he so wonderful? Because we know we have nothing of ourselves, and your pastor knows that. I hear that from him all the time. And so as we depend on God, as we come to him in faith, God is so pleased to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to do a new thing and mighty things. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Joel, and let's take a look at what it says here. Now in this book, you know, in the Old Testament, my minister used to say the Old Testament, the New Testament is in the old concealed. Brother Gardner, the old is in the new revealed. Here we have a natural story that has a spiritual interpretation and relevance. We have in the story of Joel that because of their sin, there was a famine in the land. That famine was brought by just an invasion of many different kind of insects. I'm going to begin to read. I'll read at the first verse. It says, the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. See, a pastor can't read. Hear this, O ye men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, and even in the days of your father? Tell ye it to your children, and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation of this instance that happened in the days of Joel. Look what it happens here. Verse 4. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the caterpillar hath left hath the, the canker worm left, the caterpillar has eaten. So here we have all of these insects. And these insects go right through the whole land. They gobble up all the vine. They bark all the trees. So there's no fruit. There's no vine. There's no vineyard. It talks about a great time of barrenness in the land. Now we recognize the reason the Lord sent His Holy Spirit is because everyone who doesn't know Christ and doesn't have the joy of the Lord and doesn't have the life of God really is barren. And sometimes even we Christians are living beneath our privileges. We feel dry. We feel hard. We feel like we're not breaking through. There's a remedy for it in this book. And you're going to be able to take this sword. And you're going to be able to drive back everything that the enemy's trying to rob from you. Amen. Look what it says in verse 5. This is kind of humorous. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. And howl, ye drinkers of wine, because the new wine is cut off from your mouth. Now, I don't know about Canada, because you folks seem a lot nicer than where I'm from. But if you took all the liquor, all the beer, all the wine, and there was no wine for a whole year, the psychiatrists would be busy. The hospitals would be groaning with people. There would be such a stirring. And that's kind of unfortunate. But even here in these days, it says, awake, ye drunkards, and weep. There was no wine. Then look what it says in verse 7. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. There was no figs. How many like figs? All right, well, I'm going to get a few more when I get to apples. How many like apple pie? All right. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away, and the branches thereof are made white. Have you ever taken bark from a tree and pulled it off? What do you see behind it? Just white. That's what happened. There was no fruit being born. Look what it says in verse 10. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, the corn is wasted. The corn here is wheat. No wheat. No bread. No figs. No trees. The corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languishes. Wow. Verse 12. The vine is dried up. The fig tree languishes. The pomegranate tree. The palm tree also. All the trees of the field are withered. Wow. This is some situation.